Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
I got a question for you in a minute.
You're okay.
First, I just want to say something about Joe. Something I mean as a compliment about Joe.
Okay.
Pretty much that's everything I ever say about him.
Yeah.
I'm never just like, let me tell you something about Joe.
Yeah.
If I'm saying something negative about him, I'm joking.
Yeah. Rice pudding.
Did you like rice pudding? Did we have an argument about that
once?
It's
like once? A whole hour. Yeah.
That is terrible.
I like delicious. I like rice pudding too. Yeah. Like, I don't.
Let's take two foods that are perfectly fine separate and mix them. And I just, why would you even need to do that? It's terrible.
Chocolate and peanut butter fine separate doesn't mean that's not delicious also when you put them together.
It doesn't have to go badly, but in this case it does.
Right.
You know what, Joe? You want anything else on rice pudding? Anything else?
No, I'm good on rice pudding.
You know what Joe does the first thing he does when he gets here is?
Eats a sandwich.
He does something else first.
Okay. I don't know. What is that?
Today, I was here before Joe today. It's maybe like half the time that happens. The other half, you're here first, whatever. I saw him arrive, and he goes into the control room, and John Simon is in there. And he sort of hangs out in there until, what, until it's time for John to leave? Mm-hmm. And then you move in.
That's where the sandwich was eaten. Well, he was over there.
He was waiting. That's pregame.
Okay, right. Sorry. That was not actually on the job. Okay, gotcha.
That's, well, in this particular case, I don't mean it as...
Right.
First thing he does is he puts the impeachment hearings on.
Okay.
Like for a few days, right? Since they started.
Yeah.
You have the impeachment hearings on in there.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty cool.
Do you have the sound up?
Yeah, sounds up. Okay. Not now, but yeah.
Well, but before the show.
Yeah, it's up. I'm listening to it. I'm like half listening to it.
Good for you.
Good for you. That's what I think.
Yeah, good for you.
Why? Because my age? Is that the surprising part of this?
I guess yes. You know, like if you're my age and you do that, I probably don't even notice it.
Right.
But you're half my age and you do that. And I'm like, okay, cool. This guy, he cares about that. He's into it.
I would not discern age on that. I would give almost anyone credit for being able to stand to do it. Just to want to engage in it in that manner, regardless of your age. I mean, hey, wow, okay, that's a bold step. Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, I just like to be with it, like know what's going on. I don't need to be.
It's a sign of intelligence.
Upsetting myself.
Why don't you just wait for the president to tell you what's going on?
Yeah,
you could do that.
Yeah. Some people are doing that.
It's a sign of intelligence. You want to be knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I can't do it. I can't stand it. The best line I've heard about the impeachment hearings were on Twitter. A guy wrote, "This is like watching Wheel of Fortune and the puzzle's already been solved, but the contestants are still yelling out letters." Which is good.
I saw that.
I'm still very much into the Nixon hearings.
Well,
like the Watergate trial and that. I'm still very much into that story.
That was a while ago. Yeah.
So if that were on right now, I'd probably want to have that on. And I'd have the sound up until we got started and have to mute it at that point. Does that interest you, Joe? Or is that ancient history?
That interests me. I was a big history, I think you can call me history buff. Not as quite as much anymore, but like that was my go-to subject in school was history.
All right. I like that you care. I like that you're into it.
Good.
All right, so no pressure, but I heard Howard today say, well, I heard them talking, and Jeremy was like, I cannot wait for the afternoon show. I cannot wait for it. Sometimes you want to hear just other people say the things that you're thinking.
Yeah.
And then Howard might have said, it's your turn.
About me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To go.
Well, yeah.
But you, of course, you know you don't have to.
I'm prepared to carry out my obligations. I don't think I'm in a great place. I'm reluctant to like tell all of this because I think, you know, some people listening might think, or maybe even you might think that I need counseling after I tell you everything that took place today. Just the indicative of my mindset about the hockey team. I left here like I always do. I said during the show, I mean, you were running really hot. And I was kind of front row seat for that. And at some point yesterday, I said, I'm going to go home and I'm going to hope they win. Like, that's what I do. You know, I'm going to go home. Owen's going to be sitting there. My wife will, you know, put something together for dinner and, okay, a hockey game, you know, go team. And so, Owen pulled the chute at the end of the first period and, you know, schoolwork and whatever. So my wife's up in the attic making jewelry. I actually sat up there with her for a little bit during the second intermission and thought, like, I should just stay up here. We're having a nice time. We're talking. It's, you know, there's candles. It's nice. Mm. I'm like, I want to watch the game. I know it's 3-0. Whatever. I'm going back down. So I go down and I'm sitting there and, you know, I do anyway. I don't know if everybody does this. Like, you're mad at how it's going and then you kind of get depressed about how it's going, because you start maybe to think. Last night, I just had the thought. I mean, the building was really empty. I mean, it was not near full all night, but in the third period, I mean, it was just, you could hear everything that was happening. It was a bad looking scene. I just thought, this is the most utterly depressing place ever right now. Like, imagine being there. Imagine this is the one game you go to all year. Imagine you go to all the games because you have season tickets. I mean, either one is bad. Like, if you can afford the season tickets, like you've said for years, like, there's a frustration walking in the door that you want to be able to alleviate from, you know, just get rid of, but it's there. So, like, that person, that's a struggle. If you cobbled together $150 to buy tickets for this game and went and you don't go a lot, holy cow. Like, that's just awful. Like, I feel sick for people that do that on either end. So then it started depressing, and eventually I just sort of nod off and go to bed. And I wake up at 4 a.m, and honest to God, the first thought I had was blanking Sabres. I tweeted. I got up at 4 a.m, and I tweeted that. Like,
Do you think that's why you woke up? They are why you woke up?
No, I'm 54 years old and I got to go to the John is why I woke up. So, but, you know, I woke up and went, I got to go to the bathroom. Damn Sabres. Like, that's, you know, I have to go to the bathroom because of them. So, you know, I go back to sleep and I'm just having my day and, you know, I'm listening to the morning show. I went to the gym late. My wife let me sleep in. She took care of taking Leo to school this morning. So I'm at the gym during the Instigators. I'm listening to Andrew and Craig. I'm just bathing in it, you know, like I'm soaking in it, and I'm thinking about today, and I'm thinking, like, I don't know, I almost don't want to talk about them at all, because the Bills are 7-3, and they've got a game Sunday, and it's media day, and we'll talk to Sal, but, you know, it's just churning, like, all these years, right? I'm adding up in my head, it's eight years plus this year. And you've got about 6 months a year that's a hockey season, so that's about 48, we're at about 50 months, and really, how many of those months have been fun? Like, if the actual hockey, not, oh, we got Rasmus Dahlin. Like, the actual hockey part, the 6 months part of the season.
One last year
in October this year, 2 months out of 50. 2 months out of 50 months of hockey in the last 8-plus years, I think, have been legitimately fun and hopeful. And, like, even last year was better than this October, because this October had last November written all over it, and everybody knew it. So everybody was nervous about it and, you know, apprehensive. So it wasn't even like you were fully invested in it. But still, they were good. The record was good. They won a lot of games. And okay, so this is fun. 2 months out of 50. So this is all just churning. Right before I'm ready to come to work, there's a smoke detector, CO2 detector that is, it's on the ceiling right outside our bedroom. All right, so that's almost the foot of the. You come up the stairs to the second floor of my house and walk 5 feet from the edge of the stairs, you're in our bedroom. So that hallway there is where the CO2 and smoke detector is. And irresponsibly in the spring, I was having some trouble getting it reset. So eventually I just went, I'm just taking it down. We're going to the cottage. I'll figure it out in the fall when I need to. Well, the fall kind of came and went. Well, you know, it's still fall, but I didn't do anything about it until last week when the furnace was really going. I thought, like, I should really, you know, we should have a CO2 detector on. Like, it's lazy. So I fiddle with it and I leave it on my dresser for about a week. Just, okay, the green light's blinking. It seems to be working. It's not just going off for no reason. Everything's fine. Okay. So today I finally go, oh, yeah, I should put that back up there. And because I had it on but not mounted to the ceiling, that little backing plate is off. And so I got to get that onto the screws, right? So now I can reach this by standing there. Now, mind you, you know, just to my left as I'm standing, like, there's the stairs. And, like, just on the other arm's length, there's my room. So I'm reaching, and I can't get it. I can't get it on the screws, right? I don't want to take the plate off because then I'm going to have to reset the thing, and that's where the whole problem in the spring started to begin with when I tried to reset it. So it's been working fine. It went off for smoke the other day. Like, okay, it's great, fine. All right, well, there's a chair right there that I have used in the past to stand right there. So I'm going to, all right, I got to get on the chair. The stairs are right there, right? And every time I've done this in my, you know, the 20 years we've lived in this house, I've thought, this is not the safest thing ever. But all right, I'm going to get up on the chair. So I get up on the chair and I'm doing the thing and I'm, you know, it's not a struggle, but it's taken me a few minutes. And at one point, I don't know, I wobble a little and I just thought, like, this would be really, really bad. Like, if I fell to my left, like, I might go through the window. I can't just roll down the stairs and, like, it's going to be real, real bad. And just for an instant, I thought, I wouldn't have to go to work today. I'd probably break an arm. I have a concussion, maybe concussion. I'm out till Thanksgiving. Like, it just flashed through my head for just a moment. Like, it was not, like, I did not want to hurt myself. I did not want to fall down the stairs and concuss myself. But just for a flash, I thought, that wouldn't be the worst thing that ever happened. That's how I'm doing.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. For full disclosure, the kids are great. They're both successful. Everything's great. I'm happy.
It's awesome.
Home is great. I mean, really. But, you know, for like a tenth of a second while standing on a chair above a two-flight staircase, I thought falling wouldn't be that bad.
Yeah, so?
So that's...
I fall down the stairs so and
I don't
so?
Know. So I don't know if that meets the criteria. I didn't hear what Howard did today.
Is that cool enough?
I know Jeremy didn't want to be accused of ranting while he was talking about Dalton Heinen or some Bruin fourth liner. I don't know. I don't know if this meets the threshold, but, you know, I thought about falling down some stairs today. So I didn't have to come to work. And, like, you know, here's where one of us said, I love this job. It's a great job. Like, okay, I know. Yes, it's great. But, oh, my God, they're going to kill us. Like, if I were a little less mentally stable, I might have thrown myself down the stairs rather than have to come here and do this and talk about whether Jack Eichel inspired the team by fighting or whether Ralph Kruger was a good hire because he coached soccer or, like, what, like, whatever. It's just so familiar, all of it. Like, we have been doing this forever. Forever. It's the 2012 off season when the era of pain and suffering was first christened. I think that's right. That's and then Vanek
they fall short in 12, and then that happens.
Right. That happens. That off season. That's suffering, and so we're gonna here we go, and I mean, oh my God, Right? Like, Vanek gets traded that Halloween. Regier gets fired. LaFontaine, that showed up in my Facebook memories the other day. We passed recently the six-year anniversary of LaFontaine. There's a picture of you and I, you and me. We're all sitting there with Pat, and then eventually the Pagulas, and we're in the Sabre store. Like, Pat LaFontaine, remember that? He showed up, and then like he lasted 2 months and mysteriously had to leave. Like, okay.
And now he'll like never come back?
Right,
or what?
No, right.
If nothing had happened in the first place there, maybe right. He would have come back once in a while.
No.
It's the 50, not really. It's almost the 50th season.
So, I mean, it's just
it's the celebration of the 50th season, which is next
just
year.
This has been so much. This is so much. It's almost overwhelming. I mean, you know, all of that is not what's happening right now, but it contributes to the, you know, borderline insanity that you might feel if you really are emotionally invested or financially invested or both in the games night to night. I mean, it's just insane. And so, again, I'm an animal for this stuff when I get in a certain mood. It's probably not healthy. If I had a therapist, he or she might tell me to, like, hey, you know, maybe don't listen to the instigators today. Okay? Like, nothing against Andrew and Craig, you know, but it's maybe unplug a little bit. Listen to some Wilco and then go to work. You'll be in a better place. But no.
I want to know if an analyst has ever given that advice.
I want to go like straight, like I'm heading straight for the fire.
Off the instigators.
I just cannot stop going towards the fire. Like, okay, well, give me more. Is there more Sabres coverage I can consume before I go to work to provide Sabres coverage? Because I want more. I'm just gluttony for this stuff, and it's just so hard to fathom that we're still in this place.
Yes and no.
I mean, my God. You know, so last night, you know, Eichel punches that dude's helmet to the Jumbotron, and after the game, I'm hearing Brandon Montour say, yeah, the bench really didn't respond. I'm like, Jesus, what is that? What's to happen? Does he have to stab somebody? Like, the captain just rolled this guy. The guy never got his gloves off. He just destroyed him. Like, the bench didn't really respond the way you'd want. Is everyone dead inside? Like, the building felt a little bit alive after that. There was a moment there where, like, they kill off the penalties, and Jack comes out of the box, and it's like, hey, this is going to be a thing. This is going to be a thing. And then he shoots right into the guy's pads, and then it goes off the heel of his stick another time. And then, like, that shift ended, and then the game just sort of went on from there. And, like, nothing else ever really happened after Jack just jumped that guy.
What is the move? What are the moves? You know? Like, my area that I can't get past is the roster. It, you know, coaching strategy is coming up. Jeremy's talking about how the lines are put together. Fine. I'm not into that. I don't know. I mean, I just can't believe the roster is the same roster. It's unbelievable that you could have been as bad as the Sabres have been and really not take anybody out at all, except the coach, which kind of sounded like, for the most part, they didn't want to do. So, you know, he just brought him in and everything. So, like, Botterill is more just sort of to blame to me. And, you know, ownership is, everybody's scrutinizing that and has been, because this team cannot get going, and it's been almost the entirety of the ownership tenure. They haven't been good at all. They had what you might call a fluke run right away. They go out, and then they've just never been back at all. So, you know, blame is being spread around. I just can't believe the roster is what it is, but I don't know what I can do about that right now. Like, I don't know what I can do right now that makes the bench respond to a fight. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what I can do right now to keep players who leave the Sabres from blasting them. I mean, that's even happening publicly. That's the only way we know about it, is that it's Bull U now. It was like, it was miserable. And losing is part of that, but it shouldn't be all of it. I mean, there's lots of losing teams. And their players don't, as far as I know, announce how miserable they were playing for those teams. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure it happens sometimes, but so what do you do? Like, Botterill, it's late for him. You know, it's already late for him. O'Reilly was a horrendous trade. It's one of the all-time worst trades I've ever known of in sports. Look how bad that was. It's embarrassingly bad. These guys, they don't know what's going to happen. It's just, that's the hard reality of it. They can't predict, but this one is just horrendous. That happened, and now we're a quarter of the way into this season, and most of last year's team is still here. They're almost incredibly imbalanced, forwards to D. They've got defensemen playing forward. And, you know, it's probably late for him. But if I change him out and I make another GM change, how many is that? Is that like four? Regier to, you want to count LaFontaine, which he had an important role. Like, you probably should count him.
He hires Murray. He was here alone before Murray.
Right. Yeah. He hires Murray and then leaves. And then Murray is fired 2 years in, and Botterill is brought in, and now we're at the third year of Botterill going, what is he doing? Like, how are we still here? And it's his coach.
Right. So removing him, Botterill is probably, like, if you wanted to do that, if they're talking about this at all, like, I don't even
Who
know.
Knows?
Like, I don't even know, like, where, I, you know, the building is kind of in, I don't, is disrepair too strong?
It's just
not great. Right.
It feels old.
Right. So I don't know. But if they are contemplating, if that were a move, like somebody goes, well, he just hired Kruger. And if we bring in a new guy, the new guy is probably going to want to bring in his own guy. We're saddling a new GM with a coach that's already here, and that's awkward.
And think about what expectations were for this team this year, like objectively. Whatever their record is now, 10-11, like that's about what the project, that's where you project that 82 games. That's about where you would have put them. It's just that the wins came first and now the losses. If they play to this pace the rest of the year, they'll come in at about the number that they were projected for. And so was it supposed to be a good team? Yes and no. No, in terms of, well, here is what the team is. What do you think will happen? 80 points. Why is this the roster, though? Like, to that question, what's the answer? I mean, what's the answer? It doesn't make sense. A lot of it just doesn't make sense. And you have this wealthy ownership that bragged about how it would be such an advantage for the Sabres. Show me how it's an advantage for the Sabres. What it can be is you get rid of players on contract that can't play. That's not happening. It has happened.
Because you don't mind paying them.
Because you can afford it.
Right.
Like, where's my benefit? The locker room was remodeled? Like, what's my benefit? Yes, the building feels really old and sad. And the team is terrible. All the time. I mean, come on. The best things that have happened to the Sabres in these years is the top picks that they've had, which they only get because of how terrible they were and the luck that the lottery, you know, brings out.
Mm-hmm.
They don't deserve any credit for that. Reinhardt, Eichel, Dahlin, you don't deserve any credit for that. It's just you get them. That's how the league works. Here, get better. Here, you should get better now. And they still can't get better.
Yeah, they can't seem to figure that part out.
803-0550. Well, I enjoyed listening to that. Hopefully Howard did. And Jeremy did.
Thank you.
We have Travis Yost. He's perfect today. I mean, come on, right? Travis, come on and give us his read. That'll be in a couple hours. Sal comes out at 4. A couple other fun things along the way, just to for balance. It's a big word today.
Yes.
Balance.
Yeah, it's a big word.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lines open for the fans, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
He responded, they responded. Anybody that was in the building last night, you could feel the fans behind us through the last 30 minutes. There was an attempt to get ourselves back into the game. We tried taking different ways, but when you get down 3 goals in the National Hockey League, it's not easy to come back. You know, it was our lack of being able to score on the opportunities we had early is really, really what burdened us through the end. But Jack responded. We felt we responded in the third. It just wasn't.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Enough to turn the game, and when we did score, it was too late to actually make a difference.
Ralph Krueger, Sabres coach on WGR this morning, said, we responded. Montour said, we didn't. Montour implied, some guys aren't trying. Here we go with that.
Yep.
Players in the past, one or two players in the past, have occasionally pointed fingers that way. Krueger said, no. But the Bills get their story straight.
Yep. Usually.
Say what you want.
Right.
Like, they get their story. They agree on what we're going to say is what's happening. There's a lot more players on the Bills, too, by the way, Bulldog. I don't know if you knew that. They're like
more than twice as many players. They all don't get spoken to, though, but you're right. There's a pretty – that's why it stood out a couple of weeks ago. It was Monday before last when McDermott talked about how they didn't want to slow down and huddle on that final drive against the Browns, and then the coordinator came out and said, like, no, we wanted to huddle. You know, the plan, we needed to get the right play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, whoa! Everybody's not saying the exact same thing. That's how, and that was hardly a huge deal, but for the Bills, it was really out of the norm. You know, here, like Jack was, I wondered, last night was one of those nights where, like, if you do this, or maybe even if you don't, you just want to hear all of it, you know, because you just never know. Like, is Jack going to verbally punch anyone now? You know, he took his frustration out on this dude from Minnesota last night. Like, what's the locker room going to be like? And he didn't get anywhere near there.
No.
We're all in it together. Like, he was, you know, on point for the captain. There was no, you know, I'm sick of this crap, and, you know.
Isn't he?
I think, you know, a lot of people, you must have seen it on Twitter too, like, that happens, and folks are like, well, Mike, how mad does he get? Well, there you go. Like, that's how mad he could get. Like, he's that mad. He's throwing punches mad about how things are going. So, yeah, I mean, he could have. Yeah, that's why I wanted to hear it. I was curious. Like, is he going to blast somebody? You know, his own locker room? Like, what's going to happen here? And he didn't do that. But I thought the comments from Montour especially were kind of telling. Like, he's pretty new. You know, like, he just got here last February. He missed the first month or so of the season, and he's here, and he's right to, you know, we're not all pulling the same way, and the bench didn't really respond. It's not what you want when your captain does that. And, like, wow. That was telling, I thought.
Mm-hmm. 803-0550 to your calls here. We have Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Yeah, good, Joe.
I'm right there with you. I'm just so frustrated on so many levels with this GM. I mean, just from – I just start with the forwards, but you got Jeff Skinner, Eichel, and Sam, who are your top forwards, and everyone else is a fourth-line forward. You got no help, no center depth. I got Evan Rodriguez playing second-line center. I've got Jeff Skinner playing with Sabotka on the second line. I mean – you just signed a $9 million forward, and you got him on the line with Sabotka, and they're pretending like it's okay. It's like, wake up. Make a trade. Do something. And then they give away – they trade away Ryan O'Reilly for a bag of pucks. I mean, because he was mad because they finished with 60 points, which is unbelievable. I mean, what are they doing? I just don't understand. They literally got nothing for O'Reilly. Their center depth is terrible. They killed Mittelstadt and poor Darlene. I don't even know what's going on with him.
Yeah, hopefully they haven't killed him, right? Yeah, thanks, Joe. Let's go to Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Okay, thanks for calling.
Hey, first time I've called. I was just told when I called in I mean, you know something's pretty bad when literally I have had standard season tickets for a long time, and for like the last 4 years, they've given you like free Sabres tickets if for each seat that you own for the Bandits. And I've been constantly waiting for like, okay, this, we're going to stop this promotion and get it again this year. And I'm going, wow, you know, and then get a little bit excited that first, you know, stretch. And I kind of was like laying back saying, I don't know, maybe this is going to turn south. And sure enough, you know, I mean, my sister moved down to Pittsburgh area, and they're not Penguins fans or nothing, but it's insane down there. And, you know, they kind of got a little bit happy last year with the 10 games, and then, you know, same thing happened this year. And I don't know, like, some of these guys like Bogosian and stuff, I mean, the guy, like, never stays healthy for long enough to even, you know, do anything. And, I mean, when he comes back, he'll have a, you know, a short flash here and there. And then, you know, he's out again. And
yeah, you know,
how long some of these contracts are. But
thanks, Mark. Bogosian, you bring up Bogosian. Like, for me, it always gets to Ristolainen, because you had players like Bogosian that really, it's not really, to me, that fair. It's not as fair as I want to be to criticize Botterill for not trading Zach Bogosian. You know, like, that would not have been easy. I've considered him going into this offseason untradeable. So that is, you're kind of stuck with certain of this. But, like, what you got to do something, right?
Yeah.
You've got to do something. And the way that the franchise has drastically overvalued Ristolainen, which has to be some explanation for how we're right here right now, because of course they were going to make a trade in the summer that never happened. Like, that's what needed to happen and still needs to happen. And guys like Bogosian or maybe Scandella, Oposo, Sobotka, these are not guys you can trade meaningfully. The benefit of trading them is to get them off your team, have someone else move up, and have cap room. And there is benefit to that.
There's a lot of value in that, yeah.
And one way or another, certain of those guys should be gone by now. And they're not. Why aren't they? I mean, that's just the million-dollar question right now. Like, why is Alex Nylander the only guy taken off the roster from April? Jeremy had a thing where he said they had lost 17 to 20 games at one point in April. And at either that 20th game or the 21st game, their roster, the only guy who was on that roster and isn't here anymore is Nylander. Like, that's just impossible. You were terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can go on the low end, and you can also go on the high end. You know, the guy that called before this last fella, you know, talking about who Skinner's playing with. You know, that was through the summer. You go, okay, this is, again, in the summer, I'm operating from what turns out to be a highly flawed position, expecting this other trade, the big trade, the high-end trade, the $5 million guy and something else goes out for a $5 or $6 million forward coming in, that trade that never came. Like, that's one situation. Then the other one is it's Sobotka and Larson and Gergensons and all those guys. And, like, why do you keep all of that together? Like, what you were hopefully doing, the reason to be, I think, well, it's not the reason to be optimistic about the trade, but optimistic for the big trade that never came, the impact it would have is because it would make a lot more sense of the signings of Johansson and VC, for example, who, by the way, has zero goals in, what has he played, 18 games now, 19 games? I thought all along, if you ask too much of those guys, it's going to be a problem. If you're going to be a good team, get another top six forward, those guys slot in nicely and maybe displace Gergensons or displace Larson or displace Sobotka, and I'm better because Johansson's a better hockey player than Sobotka. So I'm improving by getting good players in lower tier roles and getting one more guy to go up top. You needed that other move, because without that other move, now Johansson has to be your number two center. And that worked well for the first month of the season. And before he got hurt, that kind of dried up. So your second line is kind of a sinkhole now. Skinner has stopped scoring, and we're back to he's got to go play with Eichel and Reinhardt. And, I mean, I'm totally there. But the flaw, and it's the same flaw they had last year. That's the repetitively, insanely frustrating thing about this is that last year they made the O'Reilly move and the Berglund thing fell apart. And they never did anything about it, and we just watched Casey Mittelstadt flounder, and they never had a guy to play in that second offensive role as a center. And this year, again, they really don't. They sort of wedged Johansson in there, and, I mean, I'll be damned. I swear to you, I really think he's perfect in a lower role on the wing. Great. Like the guy as a player a lot. Ask him to carry the second line. Like, I don't know, it's been a long time since he's done that.
Then it's pretty much just a waste of a move.
Right.
It's a waste of money.
Because he's over his head, I think, and you're suffering for it.
Gergensen's and Larson, they were both on the team before Eichel. They played with Cody Hodgson. Like, they were on the tank team, and it's incredible that they are still on this team.
I was watching, what game did I watch with Jeremy? The Washington game, that was a fun night. Jeremy came over, and we're watching the game, and Larson did something. It wasn't even necessarily a critique or anything. Jeremy just blurted out at one point, Larson's going to end up like fifth all-time in games played in franchise history, right? I just said, I don't know, maybe. That's, like, he's been here a long time already.
For 2 years, we've asked Paul, what happens there? Paul's like, one of them probably goes at least.
Right.
And it still has not happened? They had to do something this offseason with them contractually, and they did.
Right. They re-signed them. Both.
Jim is next. Hello, Jim.
Yes, I agree with you on Gergensen and Larson, but there's a leadership problem on this team as well. I don't know if that is Eichel as captain. I'm going to use Bryce Harper as an example. Somebody's got to go. Addition by subtraction. They got to make trades to get leadership capable people on this team.
Well, there's no good argument for me. Hang on. Hang on. I was starting to say there's no good argument for like doing anything with Eichel. It's not in the realm of possibilities here. But I also want to represent do anything you want. Like I also want to represent, you know, like they need to go away for a week to some resort or I don't know, maybe somewhere in the backwoods or something as opposed to like a yacht and just like get dirty and just go through all the possibilities. I mean, because nothing should be off limits. I'm not here to attribute their losing to the fact that Jack Eichel is the captain of the team. I think that's ridiculous. But there are times when what I think about with Eichel is what I brought up yesterday, which is I just wonder how he's feeling. What does he think about his career as it is going along? He is an elite player and his team can get nowhere. Somebody brought up Mike Trout to me in an email today. Like he's not as good as Mike Trout is in baseball, but still like he's on a team mm-hmm. where like, just what are you doing? And so I wonder what he thinks about. And then, you know, in terms of leadership, there are good reports on that, but he's not going to make these other guys good. You cannot blame him for the fact that the bottom of this roster has weighed this team down so significantly. It's not his fault that has happened. The onus is on management to change the makeup of the team dramatically. And again, it's amazing that has not happened really at all since the end of last year.
Yeah, I don't want to. I think over the years, I feel like have learned to not overreact to what the guys say after a game. Sometimes you want to use it as a walking off point for a discussion, but to like take it as hard and fast evidence that something that they said after a game, which there's only so many things they're going to say when everybody's upset and everybody's frustrated, and certain guys may want to try to appease the fans by saying like, we know it's not good enough and we're not all, like, I'm thinking of Montour here for this. Like, he's relatively new, so I don't know if he's trying to please anyone or if he's really bearing his soul or somewhere in between. But the idea that they're not getting maximum effort from from anyone, whether that's the very top of the lineup or it's the guys at the bottom of the lineup. Most of those guys, you've got a book on them all already. Like, and if that were true, if that were the case, that would have been the case other times. And you would have known that organizationally. Like, you made a point because of personality conflicts or chemistry or whatever it was to carve O'Reilly out of the room. You needed to do that. So you did it. And it was a disaster. And these other guys who either aren't responding or just aren't good enough are just still here. And, like, if anything, those guys should be giving you every ounce they've got, because that's really the best attribute they've got to offer. Is I've got energy. I'm gonna lay out. I'm gonna inspire my teammates by maxing out on effort. And if those guys aren't maxing out on effort, they need to go. You just can't have that. The effort guys have to give you effort. Otherwise, they're not giving you goals. So why are they here?
Thanks, Jim. 803-0550. Sal coming up in 15 minutes. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Whether it's game balls, in this case with Josh, with the AFC Offensive Player of the Week, great accomplishment. And I think the biggest thing that our players understand is that those are not individually won or accomplished on their own. So those are team recognitions, really. So that's what's baked into all of that, but certainly great for Josh to be recognized.
Okay. I mean, how many guards have won the AFC Offensive Player of the Week? It's a team award. It's actually an individual award. Okay. Nice for Josh Allen getting that recognition. I'm sorry, for the Bills getting that recognition after last week's game. Sal Capaccio coming up at 4. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. We have Sean next. Hello, Sean.
Hey, guys. Listen, I just wanted to – I have a couple points before you kick me off the air, but – I want to say, it seems like the past two GMs think they are so much smarter than every fan and analyst and anyone who sees this organization. They clearly see the problems this organization has, and they speak about it. And it just seems like the GMs are like, yeah, sure. You know, when they're on with you guys, when they're on with Jeremy, whoever, I think that's where all of our frustration levels are. It's not why, it's, we all see this. Why aren't you seeing what we see? To me, it's just like, how's Jeremy White? How does he have Twitter followers who aren't paid by the Sabres have data and proof about players like Sabolka, Gergensen, Ristolainen, McCabe, Larson not being good enough, but the Sabres don't?
Good question.
Professional hockey team doesn't have that data, but Twitter followers have not just data, but substantive evidence that Jeremy just tweets out over and over again, but the organization just doesn't see it. They act as if we're all crazy, and they're not the ones who have had a team who is mired with just negativity and garbage for 8 years. They just act like it doesn't exist. Every year's new.
Well, good question.
Every year's new because it's a new GM. Every year's new because it's a new head coach.
Hey, Sean, you're doing great, but you said you had a second point, and we got to go. Do you want to make it real quick?
Yeah, my second point is I don't think we as fans and the city would be as upset if this team was overhauled kind of like the Coyotes did, where they just brought in all their young talent, got rid of all the old, and supplemented it, obviously, with Kessel and somebody else. But I feel like we would embrace that more than just throwing out the same tired names over and over again.
Yeah, there's a definite point there about the frustration with, like, the names we were talking about before the last break still being on the roster. I agree with that, too. Thank you, Sean. Couple of quick notes. We have Sal and we have Travis Yost today.
All right.
On Friday at 4, we'll have Jeff Legwald, Denver, coming in. He works for ESPN and covers the Broncos. He also, June 29th, 1994, called me in the Rochester Red Wings press box to inform me that my favorite Wendell Clark had been traded to Quebec by the Leafs at the draft. Jeff was covering the draft for the Democrat and Chronicle. I'll always remember that about Jeff. He will be on our show on Friday. And speaking of guests, I booked a guest for a couple of weeks out.
Okay.
And later I'm going to ask you to guess who it is.
Oh, I always do so well at that.
You're terrible at it, but yeah, it's fun.
I just don't, I'm not very good at 20 questions. I just don't have a lot of experience. So it's I think it's bordering on unlistenable when we do it. So stay tuned.
Yeah, I've had conversations with other friends who go back and forth with, I kind of like listening to it. I feel like Bulldog should be better at it, but the fact that he isn't is interesting.
Right. Well, I'm glad that they can at least appreciate some, that I found some niche in there that works for them. All right, that's all what's to come. Right now, I want to talk to you about CarShield. Look, computer systems in cars, we all know it. They're the new normal. Electronically controlled transmissions, it's your touchscreen displays, dozens of sensors letting you know when somebody's in your blind spot, all that sort of stuff. Well, the advanced tech is, well, it's awesome, it's convenient. It's also really expensive to fix if and when it breaks. That's why you need CarShield. CarShield has affordable protection plans that can save you thousands of dollars for a covered repair. It includes the computers, GPS units, electronics, and lots more. You get to choose your plan and your favorite mechanic or dealership to do all the work, and CarShield takes care of the rest. They even offer 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while your car or truck or whatever is being fixed for free. CarShield has helped over 1 million customers, so drive with confidence knowing you've got coverage from America's number one auto protection provider. Look, man, whether you've got 5,000 miles or 150,000 miles on your current vehicle, it's inevitable. Something's gonna break. So get covered by CarShield today. Call 800-CAR-6000. Mention the code Bulldog or visit CarShield.com. And again, use that code Bulldog to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Bulldog. A deductible may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.